Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the living and resurrected Lord Jesus. Amen. The story is told about a young man who drove an old Ford. The car broke down on the way to work one day, and he simply could not get it to start again. He was late already, and he was stranded on a lonely stretch of country road, and the young man didn't know what to do. So in frustration, he began kicking the tires. And a very well-dressed man pulled up alongside of him in a big car and offered his help. Now, the young man didn't expect such a well-dressed man to know anything about fixing cars, but he was desperate, so he let him have a look. Well, the well-groomed man took off his suit coat. He rolled up his sleeves and he opened the hood and he began making adjustments under it. And after working on it for a few minutes, he asked the young man to try to start the car. And when he did, the car started up immediately. In fact, the engine as it idled sounded better than it ever had before. The young man, full of surprise, was full of thanks as well, and he asked this well-dressed man how he knew what was wrong with the car. And the man replied in these words. He said, "My name is Henry Ford, and the reason I know what is wrong with your car is because I invented it." The young man could hardly believe that none other than Henry Ford himself had just fixed his Ford. Well, the two disciples in today's gospel experienced something very similar when our resurrected Lord joins them on the road to Damascus. Only instead of a car that wouldn't start, it was their faith that had broken down. And it would take no one less than the Son of God, who authors and creates faith in us all, to fix it. These two disciples were out on a lonely stretch of road, disillusioned by the recent events of the crucifixion because they knew nothing about our Lord's resurrection. When Jesus joins them on the road to Emmaus, the two had been discussing and lamenting their disappointment over the death of the man that they had believed was the Christ sent from heaven. The text tells us their faces were downcast. This is a biblical expression for sadness, or extreme sadness. They were depressed. They were dejected over the news of Jesus' death on the cross. It literally broke their hearts to hear that news that was now the buzz all around Jerusalem that Jesus had died. And all of their hopes and all of their optimism had died along with him. They had hoped that this was the man who was going to redeem Israel. But his death had dashed those hopes. And like that Ford in our story, found on the road dead, they did not know what to do now. And so, like one might abandon a vehicle, they abandoned all hope in Christ as they left their faith behind and they walked away from Jerusalem and on to the next village called Emmaus. When our Lord joins up with these two heartsick travelers, initially we're told something kept them from recognizing this was Jesus. The text says they were kept from recognizing him. Now, we don't know if God initially prevented them from recognizing Jesus for his own divine purposes, or if simply their presumption that Jesus was dead had prevented them from recognizing him. We do know that later Jesus would chide these two disciples for being so slow to believe all that the scriptures had written about him and his resurrection, even in the Old Testament. And so it's safe to assume that it was their own lack of faith that prevented them from identifying Jesus as he walked with them the rest of the way. But really, either way, that's not important. What is important this day is that we see our own lack of faith reflected in these two disillusioned disciples on the road to Emmaus. For let's face it, far too often, even though we're Christians, we live hopeless lives that contradict the power of the resurrection, that contradict the Lord's presence in our lives. Far too often we live as if God were dead, even though the divine word has promised that we will be in a marriage feast with the Lamb in his kingdom. But too often don't we forget God's word and presume that our lives are broken and beyond help when we cannot see a way out of our dilemmas. And our hopes for heavenly intervention die when we forget the living God of Scripture, who so powerfully works in our lives through his word of grace. It's ironic, but even though we recently, only 2 weeks ago, professed the resurrection of Easter, or of Jesus on Easter Sunday, too often we live as if God were dead and had not risen to be our eternal Savior. Like these two careworn disciples, we fail to recognize the resurrected Christ as he comes among us. Now, Christ's earthly ministry is over, and so he no longer walks among us as a man among men. But don't infer from that, and don't become despondent by assuming that Jesus is no longer with you. For didn't our Lord promise, "I will be with you always"? And didn't our Lord also promise, "Where two or three gather in my name, I will be there among them"? And so if we fail to recognize Jesus when he comes among us, not only our faces will be downcast, but our whole entire lives will be downcast and full of sadness. But cheer up, my friends, for Easter holds good news. Today, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ is among us. His presence among us is real. The very author of faith and life is with us in this very sanctuary and at this very moment. Because Christ comes to us today through his word and through his sacraments. Christ Jesus promises us in Scripture that he works faith and forgiveness whenever and as often as we read and learn and meditate upon his word and as we hear it preached to us. And that grants us faith that opens our eyes to his real presence in the Lord's Supper as we receive his true body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. For Jesus has to be here today and as often as we celebrate the sacrament, for he is both the host of that supper and he is its most distinguished guest. Now, I can't imagine how dejected and depressing my life would be if Scripture didn't promise that the resurrected Christ is with me and if I didn't believe it. And yet I guess I can imagine it, because like all of you, far too often I have forgotten it. I have forgotten how very real Jesus is in my worship life. Sometimes you and I have failed to recognize the weighty significance of this promise that Christ is with us through his word and sacraments. As he lives in these, he lives in us by his Spirit. After his ascension, Christ promised that he would engage us in his word and that we would encounter him through his sacraments. The resurrected and exalted Jesus is Lord. And that means that Jesus is everywhere, because he is God and God is everywhere. And because Jesus is our God and Lord, he can do anything. Some people say that means that Christ can come to us anywhere and at any time and in any number of ways. And I suppose he can. And yet our Lord limited himself by choosing to reveal himself only to us through his word and sacraments. And so I can say confidently that you will never recognize Jesus. You will never find him. You will never find his forgiveness in any other place. Folks, we find Jesus in church. And if you think about it, where else would you expect him? For it is in church where Christ is among us, to forgive us in the gospel and in the sacrament received. These are his only means of grace by which he intends to be present among his people as our Savior, for the purpose of creating faith in us and preserving faith in us. Now, if you know that and believe that, then why do people stop coming to church? Don't they want to encounter Jesus? Well, in my 20 years of ministry, I have learned that there are a million and one excuses for why people stop coming to church altogether, either to this church or to another church. But my friends, it really finally only boils down to this, that those who don't come to church, sadly, do not recognize the resurrected Christ as he meets us in this sanctuary. Maybe they did once, but they do so no longer. And frankly, none of us would see the point of coming to church if we didn't see Jesus in the word and sacraments. But it takes eyes of faith. Those who stop going to church are like the Emmaus Road disciples. It is their own lack of faith that has kept them from recognizing the risen Lord among us. It's much the same for disillusioned Christians these days who are well on their way to dropping church as part of their weekly routine. This is because their earthly eyes, as they look around, tell them that there's nothing special going on here. There's nothing supernatural happening in this sanctuary. They say to themselves, same old, same old. We sing the same hymns. We sing the same liturgy. We say the same prayers. And most people these days are looking for God in some great event instead of in these familiar surroundings. Those who judge by appearances are more impressed by the majesty of a wedding for a prince or the mystery of a funeral for a pope as we experience this week than they are by this every Sunday ritual that is transpiring among us. And they wrongly transfer their thinking onto God, imagining that if God were ever to appear, why, he must appear in something great instead of something small if he were to visit us from on high. But they forget that our God is the God who appeared as a baby in a humble cattle shed. Jesus is God clothed in humility. And so doesn't it make sense that he might choose a humble way to reveal himself today, a way too humble for the world to expect? Christ reveals himself to you and I in the printed words on a page, and in wine, and in a wafer of bread, and in water. The question is, do we recognize the resurrected Christ among us when he comes in these humble elements of word and wine and wafer and water? These things may look trivial to the world as Christians baptize, as they celebrate communion, as they listen to a sermon. But in fact, they are holy and they are sacred, because they communicate Christ to us. The Word is where we will find God, and the Word is where we will learn that God is for us in Christ. The sacraments are where Christ's life intertwines with ours. So then in our baptism, we die with Christ and we live with him in the newness of life. And the Lord's Supper is where Jesus' immortal flesh is given to our dying flesh so that we will live forever. Now, these sacramental actions may not look significant to those who are blinded by their own unbelief, but my friends, they are sacred actions to eyes of faith. For in this word and in these sacraments, we recognize that Christ is with us and that his eternal love is for us. The two disillusioned disciples would also recognize the resurrected Christ in the sacrament. That evening, as he stayed with them, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. And suddenly these two disciples connected the dots when they saw Jesus breaking the bread. And they realized they're not merely sharing a meal with a man, but they were actually sharing communion with Christ. They recognized Jesus in the words he used to institute that supper, and then he disappeared. Jesus had once said to Thomas, "Blessed are those who have not seen me, Thomas, and yet have believed." And in the same way, Jesus is now teaching us, his disciples, to recognize him in his word and in the meal he shares with us. For though Jesus had revealed himself to these disciples physically, they had only recognized him by faith. As wonderful as a gift as eyesight is, the spiritual vision that faith gives us is more important. For it is not important that you see Jesus right now, but it is important that you believe in him and that he is with you until the day that you do see him. And until then, it is imperative that we Christians recognize the living Lord Jesus among us in the word of the gospel preached and in the sacraments received. After Jesus revealed himself to the two disciples, then disappeared, they would turn to each other and exclaim, "Why, of course, now it all makes sense to us. Were not our hearts on fire as he talked to us along the road and as he opened the scriptures to us?" I know now why he knew everything about the scriptures concerning the Christ, because he is the Christ. And I know why he opened our hearts to understand the scriptures, because he is the author of the scriptures. And I know why he opened our eyes in the supper when he shared it with us, because it is his supper, the Lord's supper. And so our lives were broken, but Christ appeared to forgive our lives and to fix them. And Christ was able to do that because he invented us. He is our creator. He is our redeemer. Before they recognized him as their Lord, the disciples had entreated Jesus, saying, "Stay with us." Little did they know that Jesus had already made these provisions to stay with them and to stay with all future generations of Christians until all of us arrive in heaven. For even though Jesus has been exalted to the highest place in heaven, he remains with us on this earth in his word and in his supper. So that as often as you come to church, you can recognize the resurrected Lord. As Christians, you can hear his voice in the gospel, and you can receive his love and forgiveness in the sacrament. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.